On a day in Wisconsin where pools are closed for health reasons and outside it's either snowing or about to, swimming may not be on everybody's minds. But for people cooped up at home looking forward to a summer of safely reopened public waters, pools, and water parks can actually be satisfying and calming. Our next guest has spent a lot of time thinking and writing about the benefits of being in and around the water and why we humans like it so much. Bonnie Tsui is a contributor to the New York Times and California Sunday Magazine. She lives, surfs, and swims in the Bay Area. Her new book, out today, is called Why We Swim. Bonnie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, what is it about water and swimming that's so appealing to a species that evolved to, you know, run around on the land?
I think that there are so many, there's so many wonderful reasons why the water is resonant for us. And one of my favorite writers, Florence Williams, a science writer, she describes it as the fact that we humans, are programmed to have respond to set points in the environment, which means green spaces and blue places especially. And so, you know, even though we have to be taught, we're weird in that way. We're amongst terrestrial mammals in that we don't have instinctive swimming ability from birth. We have to be taught and we have to learn it. And so I think in some ways, on some level, that is makes it all the more valuable and special to us.
Can you share, Bonnie, a little of your personal story about your connection to swimming?
Well, my parents have a meet cute, which is that they met in a swimming pool in Hong Kong. And so it's kind of my family's origin story. He was a lifeguard and she was a swimmer. And because of them, I have swum my entire life. I grew up in New York, Queens, and Long Island. And I learned to swim from a very young age. I was on the swim team. I became a lifeguard just like my dad and so did my brother. And we just had a lifelong relationship with the water. And, you know, over time, over the years, that role has evolved. I started to notice that after I had kids, that, you know, I swam through each of my pregnancies and right up until the day both my sons were born. Now they're 7 and 9 and they have just joined the swim team. And so, you know, it's just been amazing to watch them learn to swim and kind of ask myself what it means to me to be observing that in the stories we tell ourselves about swimming in water.
Talk about, I know, the swimming mind. It's really a unique thing. I've just gotten into swimming for real over the last year, and of course now I can't get to pools, but there is something different about swimming than anything else I've done, and I can't put words to it. You've put a lot of words to it. Can you tell us what's unique about our brains while we swim?
Well, you know, it's so much about how we respond to the sensory input of water, from the way it looks to the way it sounds to the way it feels. And our brains just change. You know, we have, you know, alpha waves that kind of are in response to the all of that sensory input and the calming effect. And we kind of lose the scatteredness, I think about when I go into the water, I'm kind of twitchy, you know, and then I ease myself and I start swimming, and about 5 or 10 minutes in, all of that is sort of washed away. And I kind of have a pacing to my thinking and to just my breathing, you know, it's all integrated into then, you know, how my mind is allowed to wander and kind of make connections that are different from when I'm on land.
We hear a lot about mindfulness, and I could see that happening while we swim. You know, we focus on our breath and our heart rate and things like that. But one of the people you talk to, I think it was a swimming coach, talks about cultivating mindlessness while swimming. What is that?
Right. Well, it's a practice of, you know, I think what he's talking about really is a presentness. And we are so distracted by, you know, different stimuli at all times that we can't really focus. And so when he talks about mindlessness, it's that you've trained yourself to, you know, such a degree that your actions are automatic. So you don't think about the physical reality of moving yourself through the water. Obviously, you are on some level. You're it's practiced, and so one part of your brain is taken up with that. But it's not the front, you know, at the front and center of your consciousness. And in that way, it's very relaxing. You know, you can kind of allow yourself, once you get to a certain point of your ability and facility with the water and be comfortable, that it just allows you to be free. And I think we all know that. I think we've all known that since we were kids.
We're talking to Bonnie Tsui about her new book, Why We Swim. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know why you swim, or if you're a swimmer, what appeals about the water to you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Bonnie, you share some stories of people who do things I would consider fairly extreme, swimming across the Bering Strait, for example. And some people have, I don't know, special physical adaptations that make them better in the water. Sometimes it's nature, sometimes it's nurture. Can you talk about some of what you found out by meeting some of these people?
Oh, sure. Well, the first and foremost in the opening of the book is an Icelandic fisherman named Gudlaugur Friðþórsson. Oh my gosh, yeah, he is just, there's a reason I opened the book with his story. So he, and you know, the story is that he fell overboard, his fishing vessel capsized one winter night in 1984, and everyone else died pretty quickly, 41 degree water, it was cold, you basically have 20 to 30 minutes max. And he ended up swimming for 6 hours to safety. And when he got out of the water, he had to, you know, he made his way to help and got to the hospital. And it turned out that he did not suffer from any signs of hypothermia, which is just impossible when you think about it for a normal person. And he was just a little bit dehydrated. And it turned out that he has this biological quirk that was just his fat layer was much more resembling of a seal's than a human's. And it's like 2 to 3 times human thickness. And he was able to keep his core warm and stable, and he just kept swimming. And he was a great swimmer. He, you know, trained in the Maritime Academy, and he those two things saved him.
That, and that's something that he didn't try to get, I guess, but you also write that some people have a different water superpower. They see really well underwater, and we can actually, that can come from just early exposure and lots of swimming early on.
That's exactly right. I mean, it does sound a little bit crazy, but there are some sort of research studies that have shown with kids who, you know, grow up in sort of water environments, water cultures, where they grow up, you know, free diving for shellfish and all that, that they have this ability from a young age to focus on objects underwater very clearly, the way that most of us, we know, we go underwater, our corneas are just not, you know, suited to, it's very blurry. And, right. And then something changes with our focal, you know, our focal point, our focal fields, when you, the muscles in your eyes have been trained over time, and you can do that. You can train yourself to do it. They have found that, even when you haven't, grown up in those environments.
We pick up our conversation with author and swimmer Bonnie Tsui. We're talking about her new book, Why We Swim. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If you swim, why do you swim? How did you get into it? Have you ever done it competitively? Do you do it for fun? Pools, lakes? Are you missed? Stress relief right about now. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know why you swim. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll go to your calls. Carrie is going to start us off. Carrie is calling from Madison. Carrie, hello.
Hello. I love to swim, and I like to swim at night after everybody else has left the pool. The condos where I live have a couple of pools, and I'll be there in the evening and read until everybody leaves, and then I'll swim. And last year, my sister gave me some kind of a device with earplugs so I can swim to music, so I can swim to Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Amazing Grace, and I just love it. But I'm worried about this summer not being able to swim.
Carrie, thanks a lot for that call. So Carrie likes that solitary swimming, Bonnie, and you talk about both solitary and kind of community swimming. Can you talk about the appeal, first of all, of just getting that water to yourself for a little while?
Yeah, you know, what I really found over the course of the book was that that solitariness, that solitude is really rare, increasingly rare these days. Well, at least from a psychological standpoint, right? Right now we're isolating from each other, but we are still barraged with connectivity, right? It's the way that we are communicating with each other, and it's actually, you know, more so now. And so, sort of in more normal times, that to be able to slip into the water is to find some quiet. And so I think that that is so essential and so appealing. And when you start making it a daily practice, a regular practice, that it is, you realize that you need it and it's so beneficial to you. But of course, there's the community aspect too, with the teams and with your, you know, the people you see at the pool or in the open water where you tend to frequent. And that's really valuable too, because that's just your social, that, you know, it's your tribe. And I think all of us swimmers know that we have a tribe.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Chris now in Adams. Chris, hi.
Hi. I was a really good swimmer. My mother insisted that we take swimming lessons from the time we were like 4 or 5 years old. And I became a very good swimmer. And I went through my senior life-saving certificate. I took my final exam, which is swimming a mile, in Elkhart Lake in October on a windy day. It was awful. But what I wanted to say is that I can no longer do that because I have MS and fibromyalgia, and I can't be a great swimmer anymore. I just don't have the wherewithal. But if you are disabled in some way, getting into a warm pool and being able to just do your thing, but whatever it is you can do, is really beneficial because it gets your cardio going a little bit and because you can't fall down, because I can't go running or walking because I'll fall down and you can't hurt yourself.
Chris, right. Thanks a lot for that call. And Bonnie, that reminds me of an anecdote you share. I think you actually closed the book with it. Somebody who had been a big swimmer, had a major health problem, but still found ways to get back into the water. Can you share that with us?
Yeah. And I just wanted to respond to our caller that the healing aspect of water, and especially warm water, well, and also cold water, but warm water, just how it feels and how buoying it is and how soothing it is and how much it removes, you know, the burden of a lot of physical ailments for a lot of people, that really cannot be discounted. It is so essential. I've actually gotten a lot of letters from people in this period that we have not been able to go swimming, that they, you know, they miss their daily tonic, you know, that's how they talk about it. And especially for people who are older, who for whatever reason, you know, for that land is just not the exercise for them, that the pool is the place where they are able to, you know, leave all that behind and be free. And in the book, actually, I talked to a bunch of researchers, especially longevity specialists, who say that swimming is just so great for example, arthritis sufferers, that just swimming itself actually helps their mobility and strength and pain management, even when they're out of the water. And so that is really amazing. And they've just gotten a bunch of published research on that in the last couple of years. It's pretty new. And so it's kind of affirming what we already have known for a long time.
Thanks a lot for that call, Chris, at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jocelyn is with us in Sheboygan. Jocelyn, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Jocelyn?
I'm trying to condense all the things that I want to say so they don't take up too much time. But I'm not a great swimmer, but I'm a great floater. And I absolutely love being in the water. One of the things that I really like about swimming is the stretch that you can get, you know, along the front of your body that you can't really get any other way. You're just, the water supports you, and you can just get this amazing stretch from your toes to the top of your head. I love that. And I also I never thought I would swim in Lake Michigan, even though I lived in Sheboygan most of my life. A friend, you know, kind of dragged me in. You know, I was complaining about it, but once I got in there and started enjoying it, I couldn't believe how wonderful it was to just have that, you know, the waves, they just kind of like relax your whole body. And the last time I swam in Lake Michigan, it was getting towards the end of the season. And I was in there for like 2.5 hours and I had to literally make myself get out.
Fantastic. Jocelyn, thanks for the call. Bonnie, what do you think?
I mean, I feel you. I am all about that. And I think that just the rhythm, you know, especially with an open body of water where you have wind, you have, you know, some waves and some feeling, some sense of connection to the larger world. I mean, I think when I am in the Pacific Ocean, I get out there in the morning and I just look and I think how lucky I am, and the sense of scale and the sense of perspective, everything does fall away in a way that is, like I said, just so, so wonderful and so rare these days.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Bonnie Tsui. Her new book is called Why We Swim. Back to your calls now. Ben is with us in Marshall. Ben, hi.
Yeah, I was not a good swimmer, but I was on the swim team. But I spent 12 years or more than that coaching diving and everything. I would wake up at 6 in the morning because I would have bathrooms, and I'd grab a bunch of raspberries from my garden and then run to the pool, like be at work at 6 in less than a minute, and then spend the like, coach diving team, keep swimming, like whatever. It's like this program is just fun. This is like bringing back so many moments of my life as a swim coach and a diving coach. Thank you.
Ben, thanks for the call. Bonnie, I bet you've heard from a lot of people who just, you know, you were reminding them of their fond memories of swimming and diving and just time in the water.
It makes me so happy to hear these stories. And one of the reasons that I loved writing this book so much, and now after it's being published today, that I am so looking forward to and have been enjoying, is that everyone has a swimming story. No matter whether or not they call themselves a swimmer, they might say, I'm not that good a swimmer. And you'll see, as in this half an hour that we were just talking, that that there's something really singular and healing and wonderful and buoying about being in the water that I think we can all really look forward to on the other side of this.
We also heard from Rhoda in La Crosse. She wanted to ask about the link between swimming and the sensation in the womb. And you write a little bit about that, Bonnie, I know.
Well, it is such a funny, I mean, we can only surmise what we remember from being in the womb, but just the, you know, that you have, I mean, you hear your mother's voice when you're in the womb as a baby who's growing. And I think when you're in the water, in the pool, you know, you kind of, it's a muffling effect that you hear some people talking, maybe there's sort of like a whooshing, and there's something that I think people find very comforting about that. And I think that's why when they go walk to the ocean and people are so drawn to the beach and they're drawn to places where there is running water, they love waterfalls. Like there is something about that sound quality that is immediately soothing. And once you come out of the womb, you know, anyone who has a small child will know that when they go, you know, rushing water sounds or, you know, ocean waves, they can use that on Spotify or actually go to a place where there is water that will soothe your baby. And I think that there's something very human about that response.
Hey, you know, you mentioned that. Can we do that for ourselves, not just our baby? Since we can't get in the water in a lot of cases right now, can we trick our brains into feeling like we're waterborne for a little bit?
You know, apparently so. I'm sure your readers, your listeners know about Wallace J. Nichols and Blue Mind. And so he's such an evangelist and an author of a book about that exact thing where, and now he's been talking about, you know, even though you can't get into your pool or the water, the body that you love, it is still really valuable to look at water, to experience it virtually, to, he calls it domestic waters, meaning, you know, in your home, like a bath or a shower, or just looking at pictures or like watching something. I mean, you could watch Blue Planet, you know, it just, it is something that we, that is calming to us. And so even that kind of sensory input that is virtual is very useful and, you know, good for us at this time.
Bonnie, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Rob. I had a great time.
That's swimmer and author Bonnie Tsui. We talked to her about her new book, Why We Swim. It is out today.